Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, great. Where's Pastor Eddie? What time is it now? It's 3 o'clock. What time do I have until? 5 minutes?
45.
45? Okay, I just talk until you get your rooms. My room comes first, bye. I want to be very casual with you because we're going to spend 2.5 days together. And this is really just brothers and sisters coming together and sharing the Word of God. There's really nothing special about myself, as you will discover, other than having a slightly larger than normal family. But we're here just to share something that is a message that we believe the Lord would want us all to hear and also to lay hold of and also to act upon it. But I think I need to get to know you guys a little bit more. How many of you were here 2 years ago at this little camp called Beyond Mediocrity? Can I have a show of hands? Yeah, so this will give me a good indication. Just keep a hand up, please. All right, so it's about half, right? Yeah? The other 50% was not there with us. It was there that I had the opportunity to share about this ministry called Archippus Awakening. Maybe a show of hands also. How many of you have no idea what Archippus Awakening is all about? Thank you. A few, just keep your hands up. Okay, so not too many. So the rest, have you heard of Archippus Awakening? Yeah? I'm so encouraged that you know the three keywords for Archippus Awakening. Will you help me?
Awaken,
align,
sign. Okay, I know. We're not going to give you too many things today. Everyone's tired. You've already had made for more, exclamation mark. So we'll do the awaken, align, assign a little bit more later on, okay? I just want to know who was there, what you know about Archippus Awakening. As a speaker, I always hope that we can bring you something to add on to what you have already heard. Okay, that's my desire. But at the same time, I also realize that sometimes what you have heard before, you may need to hear
again.
Yeah, I dare not ask you to put up your hands. How many of you have forgotten everything I've said 2 years ago? Don't put up your hands, okay? I'm just thankful you invited me back. Right, so this was actually the theme, Beyond Mediocrity, the Christ-centered life. These were actually the six topics that we crafted. How do we understand this term called Beyond Mediocrity? If you know, mediocrity may have a slightly negative connotation, but actually it just means you have reached actually a certain level. You have attained to a certain level. It's not bad. It's actually quite good. The problem is, after you have attained to that level, you stay there. All right? And once you begin to camp at a certain place or a certain height, that's when you become mediocre. And the word mediocre comes from two Latin words, which actually literally translates middle mountain. You see that? It means when you come up to a certain height, you've climbed a distance, but you stay at that level, you have become mediocre. And I shared a few things with you. Again, this is just a refresher. We said, we've got to get beyond salvation. Would you say amen?
Amen, amen.
Yeah? We've got to get beyond salvation. I mean, if you believe in Jesus, we're all saved. Praise the Lord. Okay? But we have to understand that we've been saved into the kingdom of God that we may live for the King of Kings. Secondly, we have to ask ourselves, what is Christianity to us? And we have to move beyond religion. Because if you attend church every week and you attend cell group every week, that's very good. And as a leader, I'll be very happy if you do that. But if you're not careful, it can become religious, right? And if it only remains a religion, then we have a problem. We have to go beyond religion and get to relationship. We said we know so many words. We keep talking, but it's got to be beyond words. It has to be obedience. And we explored this thing called grace. And grace is wonderful, but does it mean that because of His grace, we don't have to work? So we have to push beyond grace, understanding what it really means, and then there is work to be done. Then we said, if you're going to do this work, then we're going to get beyond. The work that God has called us to often is beyond reach. We definitely need His empowerment. And finally, we closed with this two words beyond mediocrity, but we want to get to significance. Right? So those are the six things. I hope you at least are getting some memories coming back to you. I assure you, we will revisit some of these points, some of these thoughts, but perhaps from a different perspective. Now, Archippus' Awakening was something I had the opportunity to share with you. 2 years later, I'm very happy to report to you that we have moved a few steps forward. More people have heard of Archippus' Awakening. Churches have invited me to share the message of Archippus' Awakening to understand what being an Archippus is all about. But it's really grounded on that one verse, which is printed all over your booklets. And I have it there for you, depending on which version you're reading from. But can you help me right on top there? Okay, everyone together? One, two, go.
Now, Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have seen in the Lord.
And this is that one memory verse I want you to have. I'm so excited because usually I force this verse on church camps. But today, the church camp has adopted this one verse as your camp theme verse. So when you leave this place, I hope this will be burning deep within your heart. Along the way, we'll share a little bit more of what Archippus' Awakening is. But you know, today when we get into Made for More, I think it's like a sequel. It actually, 2 years later, I come back, you know, we do a sequel to a movie. You already know the foundation, the grounding. It's actually Beyond Mediocrity 2. Okay? And the title, of course, of this whole theme for this camp is Made for More. Now, it's actually very dangerous. You just invited someone with seven children and you want Made for More. I'm looking at, of course, Daniel here. You know. So I'm going to get into this afternoon session. I hope that it will help lay some foundation. And I am very aware we just traveled, you know, not too long, not too far, but still we travel. And we're here and we might be tired, right? So we're going to go through very casually. We'll lay some thoughts and we will be through it. And hopefully your rooms will be ready and you will get to rest. So will you join me? We'll pray together. But let me just pray for all of us as we get into the first session. Father, we just want to say thank you. And we want to praise you, Lord, that as we gather in the name of Jesus, we know, Lord, by faith, you are here with us. It's not how we feel, Lord, but we know that you are here present with us because we are here to honor you and to bring you glory. And so, Lord, we commit this entire proceeding to you. Please be with me and my brothers and my sisters, Lord. If anyone is tired, Lord, refresh us in the Holy Spirit, Lord. And let us be ready to receive all that you have for us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with a roadmap. You have it in your books. But this, I thought, would be helpful for all of us. I'm going to talk about this session, being awakened to more. I just can't get out of this one word, okay? So we are going to visit this one phrase called being awakened to more. And when we come back this evening, we're going to look at barriers to more. You know, do all of you want more? No problem with that, right? Everyone would say amen and say, yeah, that's my prayer, that's my desire. But I think it's good even as we say, okay, this is what we want, we have to be aware of what holds us back. Okay, so that's this evening. Tomorrow we'll have two sessions where we talk about aligning with the Lord and aligning for more. Let's check our alignment and I'll actually go through two sessions in the morning for that. And in the evening when we come back, we're going to be looking at this topic called building for more. And on Sunday, as a church service, I will talk about where the place of grace is as we believe that we have been graced for more. Okay, so this afternoon, awakened to more. Let's start with a very, very simple question. Let's define what is more. Important, right? Otherwise, you may want more of a certain thing, or if you define it in a different way, have a different perspective, then your more and my more might be quite different. What is that more? Why don't you just spend a few moments? What is this more you're thinking about? As I was preparing this, I said, I cannot presume anything. We're all Singaporeans, right? Singaporeans always want more. But what is this more that we are talking about? And I also realize that it is, if you want more, means that we might be either lacking in something, or we might be not too high at that level, so depending on where you are. And even if you are really, really full, again, like I said, kiasu people like us, we want overflowing. We just want more. Perhaps in our lives, we're saying, I want to live life to the fullest. That means wherever I am right now, I'm not satisfied. Would that be okay? A very general, and I can tell you that this would mean different things to different ones of us, depending on our stations in our lives at this point in time. But I think we can generally agree that we all want to live life to the fullest. You go to any inspirational, motivational talk, man, this kind of books sell, man. How do you live life to the fullest? Now I thought, okay, fine, why don't we look at what the world says about living life to the fullest? Let's check out a few things. And there's actually a whole list that tells you that there are 50 ways to live life to the full. I know it's very hard for you to read this, not for you to read. But you can go to any website, there are 3 ways, there are 7 ways, there are 10 ways. Okay, let me read some of these to you. Number one, stop worrying about money. Who wants to say amen to that one? Is that biblical? Definitely biblical, right? But as you go on, number three, take 2 holidays a year.
More!
Okay, I'm taking note now. Number seven, pay off all debts.
Amen.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Biblical, huh? That's good, huh? Number 14, travel to at least 25 different foreign countries. Hey, Singaporeans, come on. Done. Someone said done. Okay, wait, if I look at the pilot, maybe, yeah? Yeah, probably would have. Number 19, lose a stone in weight. Lose weight, lah. I mean, they measure in stones, right? We measure in kilos, right? So, you know, live life to the fullest, you have to lose so that you can have more. How about volunteer for a good cause? Number 25, go on safari. Number 32, have a pet. Okay, no one here said anything. There's one here that's interesting. Number 36, meet strangers. Number 38, have a one-night stand. Oh, I forgot to ask, is there above 18 or above 20? Obviously, you know this website is not very Christian, right? Huh? You see, the world tells us that we need to do certain things, we must acquire certain things, we have to experience certain things in order to live life to the full. And I want to start with this, because if our orientation is like what the world thinks, and we conform to the patterns of this world, then if you are praying, made for more, and Lord, give me more, can I suggest to you, your prayer might be a little bit stingy. I'm really serious, right? Huh? That even our Christian walk, who is God to us, and what are we believing Him for, if our orientation is pretty much like what the world thinks and how they live, then it needs some thinking, right? It needs some evaluation. Let's look at what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 29. He who sent me is with me, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do things that please Him. I always do things that please Him. And I want to leave this, I want to start with this one thought with you. That the fullness of a Christian's life is really determined by the pleasure it brings to God. Did you get this one? Right? What I'm trying to do here is to start this on the right note. If you look at that list that came before, it is so easy for us when we say, I want to live life to the full, we can make it all about us. We can turn it inward and say, Lord, if you give me this, then I'll have a full life. Lord, if you bless me with more money, I'll have a full life. If you give me a good wife, then I'll have a full life. No, if only I'll have this, I can have a full life. And I claim John chapter 10, verse 10, that Jesus says, I came that you might have life, and that you might have life abundantly. You see that? All right? So we have to be very careful. It's not really about us. It's not about our pleasure. It is really the pleasure that our life brings to God. Who wants to say amen?
Amen.
All right? And so this is where I say, let's look at this. If you are asking for more and you are wanting to live this Christian life to the full, would this be a good prayer? Lord, let me bring pleasure to you. And the more pleasure I bring to God, the more my life is filled. Amen? The more pleasure I bring to the Lord, the more significance I derive out of this Christian life. Because it is no longer I who live. This life that I have is no longer mine. We exist for the glory of God.
Amen.
No, amen.
Amen.
Heavy to start with this. If you look at Leonard Ravenhill, he actually says, if we displease God, it doesn't matter whom we please, right? And today, there are many men pleasers. There are a lot of crowd pleasers. But if we please God, does it matter whom we displease? You are made for more. But I'm trying to turn this around to make you ponder for a little while more. Get a little bit deeper into this to say, Lord, what is this more all about? Would it be a life that pleases you? And if I will please you, then I will receive so much of you and so much more of you that my life will indeed be full. But let's look at what constitutes a life that pleases God. If we had more time, I would have asked you to look up some of these verses. But I know it's afternoon and that would be dangerous for me to even suggest that. So let me flesh this out very quickly to you. And if you take a picture of this in your own time, in your own devotion, you can read this, okay? You can consider some of these things. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, Paul actually prays for the Christians or for the church to know the will of God. But in Ephesians, he gives them the same prayer, but he says, I pray that God the Father will give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in what? In the knowledge of Him. Amen? But when you know God and you begin to know His will, this begins to bring Him pleasure because you begin to live out of that conviction and out of that knowledge. The next one is the fear of the Lord. The scary thing today is that today we don't hear too much about the fear of the Lord. The word fear is a four-letter word, and I really mean that. It's like a bad word. Nobody wants to talk about fear. Say, oh, no, you cannot talk fear now. God is love. Can only be love, and if you love, there's no fear, because perfect love casts out fear. But do you know, theologically, you cannot hold fear and love separate. They are together. They have to be visited together and considered together. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 9, it talks about a life that's lived according to the Spirit will bring pleasure to God. Because it speaks in the negative the other way that says, if you live according to your flesh, it does not bring pleasure to God. The next talks about faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so a life lived by faith, with faith, will please God because God is the one who diligently rewards those who seeks after Him. That's a life, you know, that pleases God. But is it all just about seeking after Him and just believing on Him, where faith is just a mental ascent? No, it's not, because faith has got to move into the next step. The legs of faith, I call it, would be obedience. In your obedience to the Lord, it pleases God. How does it work out even personally and also as a community? Thankfulness. If you are grateful, you are thankful in your life, in your demeanor. If you have a heart of gratitude and you're always having a skip, you know, in your step, regardless the situation that you're going through, do you know this brings pleasure to God? Because it demonstrates a trust and a faith in a God, regardless of the situation that you are presently in. Community pleases God. It's wonderful to see the people come together, love one another, sacrifice for each other, give up things for one another. This is a pleasing sacrifice unto the Lord. Generosity is another thing. Some have more, some have a little bit less. But God's idea of community is so that we can be generous to help one another. All these things please God. Do you know also fruitfulness pleases God? He says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't bear fruit. You have to stay with me. You have to abide in me. And I tell you, fruitfulness is a key theme in the entire Bible. All right, very quickly, all these 9 points. But what I want to focus on and what I want to zoom into is actually this last one, where we'll use this sort of as a launch pad to what we have to talk about. And you see this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I call it focus in mission. Let me pull out this verse for you so that's easy. Let me read it to you. Paul says to Timothy, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life." Look at that last line. "That he may please him." You see that? "That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Let's paraphrase this a little bit. A soldier lives to please the one that enlists him. He doesn't get caught up with the affairs of this life and the things that would distract him, but he is focused on the mission that the commander issues to him. Is that clear enough? Yeah? So if we are focused in mission, and if we are considered as soldiers of the Most High, then we live for Him and to please Him. What this means is that whatever He tells us to do, I will do it. Whatever mission He gives to me, I will execute it. Whatever assignment that He details to me, I will be faithful to fulfill it. Whatever ministry that He sends me to, I will do my best to be obedient, to do all I can as a soldier of God. This is a life that pleases God. And this is what we desire to do. Now let's tie it back in a little bit. You realize that the second mention of Archippus, the first one of course is found in Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. The second mention, only two, is found in Philemon 2. And I love this little revelation, because Paul, in addressing Philemon, and then he mentions Apphia, then the third person he singles out, Archippus, and then he gives this guy a designation. He sees him as our fellow soldier. So if you identify yourself as an Archippus, you are a soldier of God. I mean, you don't have to even to identify as Archippus. We are all soldiers of God, right? We are all fellow soldiers. What do soldiers do to please the master or to please the one who enlisted us? We are focused in our mission. We are not distracted in anything else. And as we please our Lord, as we please our master, as we please our commander-in-chief, I tell you, that's where we will find fulfillment. And the more that we desire will come right there, deep within our hearts. I'm sharing this with you because from that one line, Archippus, our fellow soldier, we know we find in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, that is what we read of just now as our camp theme verse. And as someone who has been given this message called Archippus Awakening, my one assignment, my one main assignment, my one song that I sing, you invite me next year, I come back, I sing the same song, maybe in a different key. My one message is to awaken an Archippus to know and to fulfill your kingdom assignment. Right? And I can assure you that if you desire to do this, you will find that your kingdom assignment in wanting to know it and to fulfill it will definitely, most definitely involve you knowing God and understanding His will. It will involve you living out of the fear of the Lord. It will require a spirit-led life. It's going to push your faith to boundaries and limits where you feel, you know, I've never gone before. It's going to test your obedience, because if God gives you something and if you receive that in the Lord, obedience is really the next step. It's going to challenge you to be thankful every step of the way. It's going to involve community. It will challenge you in your generosity even. And it will cause you to become fruitful as you keep your focus on mission. Amen to that?
Amen.
All right, so I'm starting with this because I want to get our perspective right. As we talk about all the other things in the next few sessions, we're going to build upon this. We're going to get into some of these points, perhaps, you know, using different words or different perspectives, but it's going to help you at least understand this. For the rest of this time, I'm going to share with you my own journey to more. And it's been exciting when Christians come together, we always share stories. Journeys are what we are on. And I have my own and you have your own. And even from the coach right up here, you know, when I listen to some of your stories, it's just been amazing. And we see how God worked in each of our lives, you know, in different ways. So if you will allow me, let me share my little journey with you. And perhaps this can encourage you. This can provoke some of you. This could even awaken some of us in our midst. I've drawn a little timeline. And I was born in 1964. Today I am 51. I'm not yet 52. I was born in a Christian family. If you have been in the Methodist church, I was born into a Methodist family. And we attended a church called Toloye Methodist Church. For the first 20 years of my life, I attended a very good school called ACS. And a Christian school, joined an organization called the Boys Brigade, Christian organization. Later on, worshiped in this church called Pailawa Methodist Church, served in a choir, became choir director. I did all the Christian stuff. But for 10 years or 11 years thereabouts, the next decade from 84 to 94, I backslid. And this seems to happen to a lot of young adults, so please pay attention to young adults. After army, getting into university, living your own life, pursuing degrees, you know, going out with friends, partying and so on, I sort of fell away. I still considered myself a Christian, you know. Now today, if you ask me whether, if Jesus came then, would I be ready for him? I will tell you, definitely no. Definitely no. But for that 10 years, I went to business. After that, worked in my father's advertising agency. Never really thought about coming to church even, except Easter and Christmas. And lo and behold, one day I decided to marry my girlfriend, and she agreed to marry me too. And I said, as a good Christian, I need to get back to church to get married. So praise God for churches who accept backslidden people who come back into the church. All right? Now, I'm not saying this to tell you this is the right way to go. Whenever I share something like that, I must qualify, because it doesn't give you permission, you know, to do something that is wrong. Yeah? And so by the time we came to 1994, we would get married in 1995. By 1994, we had to go back to church to be a good Christian to get married in that church. I found myself, that was when I received my own awakening to a lot more. And it's always wonderful to look back at your own journey and you see the hand of God move in your life without you even realizing it. Okay, so it's a good place to start, and I hope that this will trigger you also to consider this. My very first awakening was actually an intellectual awakening. I call it intellectual awakening. Because back in 1994, just to prepare for that marriage or that wedding in 1995, my wife and I, my fiancé at that time, you know, we found ourselves, we had to attend a premarital course, right? I'm sure you have that too. But more critically, we have to attend a membership class. And the funny thing about the membership class is that they announced to us that it's going to be 12 weeks. The very first week, this guy stood up. And at the end, it's going to result in a baptism ceremony. That's a Methodist system. My wife was not a Christian. I was a backslidden Christian. My wife looked at me and said that was not part of the deal. You know, I said, I'll marry you. I didn't say I'll get baptized. And me being a good Christian, a good evangelist, I said, it's okay, don't have to believe in Jesus. Just let me get through this membership class, you know, I get the membership and I get the permission to get married in this church and we're done. So that was the story. But we attended the membership class and suddenly halfway through, get this, membership class, there's anointing in membership class. My wife accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior without me even saying anything. But for myself, as I was listening to a very good Bible teacher, somehow everything made sense. I realized that my own Christian life was nothing very much until the time I knew there was something more. Amen? It just made sense. The Bible just made sense. Every concept just made sense. That's why I call that an intellectual type of an awakening for myself. That was in 1994. We got married in 1995, and the next awakening would come, and I call it an experiential awakening. We got married in March, on the 11th of March. We left for our honeymoon. We came back 2 weeks later to our own home, and I think I shared a little bit of this 2 years ago when I was with you. I just didn't give you the end of the story. So I'll continue. I told you this part two, man. So one night, our house, we didn't have much furniture. The furniture had to come in here. It was just a new place. So we had only our bedroom set, and that was all we had. Outside the living room, totally empty. It was one bed and with two bedside tables. So I was outside making a phone call to my mom, speaking to her, sitting down on the floor. My wife went into the bedroom to shower and change. I finished the phone call with my mom, and she comes out, and she goes, "Did you move the bedside table?" And I said, "No, I didn't move anything. I was here talking to mom." And she looked at me and she said, No. "Did you move the bed?" I said, "No." She said, "Can you come in and have a look?" And so I walked in with her, and lo and behold, there was the bed and the bedside table that was sandwiched between the wall and the bed. It was moved 90 degrees. Which means to say that the drawers were not facing out, the drawers were facing the wall. And the only way to move that if someone lifted it up, twisted it 90 degrees and put it back down. You can't even knock it and, you know, shift it accidentally. So she looked at it and she pointed at that bedside table and she asked me, she said, "There, you see, did you move the bedside table?" I said, "No, I didn't move the bedside table." Then quickly she looked and she said, wait, if you didn't move and I didn't move, then who moved the bedside table? I said, "I don't know, I was on the phone." It was really crazy, it was really freaky, you know. I mean, there I was, you know. And then the first thing we did was, "Man, we've got to call the pastor." Thankfully, there was a church bulletin. Never throw away your church bulletin. And we picked up the bulletin. There was a phone number. It was Wednesday night, I really remember. I called, and no one wanted to answer the phone. It took like forever. Finally, someone picks up the phone, and I said, "I need to talk to a pastor. Something just moved in my house." And the person just said, "Oh, but you're all downstairs in midweek prayer meeting. Can you call back tomorrow? Bye." Wait. "Something just moved in my house." And she said, "Yeah, but they're all busy. Can you call back later?" I said, wait, chop, you don't understand. I just told you, but my bedside table just moved. And I think the person must have heard my panicking, you know, my panic mode, you know. Anyway, cut long story short, they said, "Okay, I'll try and find a pastor and we will call you back. Promise? You know, you must call me back, all right?" They call me back, I think like 15 minutes, it really seemed like eternity. They say, "Okay, the pastors are coming over to your place now." I gave them an address. I told my wife, "We are waiting downstairs. I'm not staying in this house." I wish I had known Pastor Paul by then. We stayed and waited there and waited there. I said, "What are we going to do? What are we gonna do? I don't know. Suddenly this car pulls up and three pastors came. What ghostbusters? "Thank you, Lord." Yeah. And they came out and we were like, we don't know them and they don't really know us. They might have seen us, our two faces white, you know. And we said, "Please come, Pastor, upstairs." And so we brought them all the way up to our room, opened the door, brought them in, and was like, Pastor, the table. And they looked at us and said, no, don't worry. "No, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." "I know." The pastors never do this to your members again. He's like, I know, can you just do something? And so they sang, we read scripture, we anointed the place, they prayed, you know. And then I said, "Okay." I felt a little bit better, and suddenly the pastor looked at me and said, "Okay, fine, both of you go shift the table." "Me, no, but you're pastor, you do it." I said, no, you go and do it, don't worry, you have the authority. And so quiet, both of us go down there, carry the table, shift it, put down there. And they looked at us, "Okay, so bye, huh? We can go already." My wife said, "They want your side of the bed." We school today, we look back, we talk about it, we laugh about it. I can tell you, I was so scared that night. Anyway, they left. And I call that an experiential awakening. It was like a spiritual awakening. It was my first time really encountering something that the spiritual realm is real. It's real. But what really woke me was this whole thought of, man, I'm a Christian. There's got to be something more to this Christian, right? And every verse that they prayed, they spoke about, I know. I got A for Bible quiz. I win prize one. There had to be something more. You hear me? You understand? And I just sat there, like, Lord, what kind of a Christian am I? Either you're real or you're not. Either your word has power or it doesn't have power. You know, either we have authority or we don't have authority. And that was really an experiential awakening for myself. And I said, Lord, I'm good. It just stirred my hunger. Anyone want more? I pray for your bedside table to move to. And I give you Pastor Lawrence now. After that, I was so hungry. You understand? Desperate also, but hungry. That was the awakening. The third awakening actually came. And I call this a vocational awakening. And that was in 1999, thereabouts. So you fast forward the next 3 to 4 years, I became so involved in the church life. I began to serve, I began to learn a lot more. You know, I began to get into more prominent positions, and I was serving. And by that time, one morning, I was just sitting there in my devotion, and I felt the Lord ask me this very, very simple question. What have you laid up in heaven? What have you laid up in heaven? Oh, immediately I just answered, no problem. I serve in the worship team, you know. I'm in church how many times a week? I do this, I do that, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. And I just rattled my whole list of credentials. And then there was silence. And then that voice came again, you know, God's voice, very, very gentle. What have you laid up in heaven? I said, well, not enough. Well, I don't think I have. Then I started to rack my brain. I said, I know, last year, I wrote an entire musical for you, Lynn. You know, I did so much. We had about 200 people involved. You know, it was sold out. It was so many people came. It was all full. And we had this, and we had that, and we had this, and that. And then it was quiet again. And the Lord once asked one more time. He said, what have you laid out in heaven? I said, well, Jalan, this kind of answer still don't make it there. And I began to think. I realized it wasn't how much I did. It's what he would tell me to do that I would do it obediently and faithfully. Amen? So, being made for more is not doing more and you're trying to be more of a Christian in that sense. I call it a vocational awakening because since that time, I started to press and said, Lord, I only want to do what you tell me to do. You've got to show me. And I was so gung-ho, I was ready to leave everything and anything. I said, Lord, if you say it now, I will do it. 1 year later, in the year 2000, that call came. And the call was so clear that my God said, leave the business. I want you to get into full-time ministry. Follow me. That was on 8th of July, the year 2000. It was very, very clear. And so I left the agency business 3 years later. I took time to process. I went to Bible college and so on. I went to full-time ministry. So in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, full-time ministry, that shot right now. Right? I mean, this must be the best place to be. You serve, you leave everything, you serve God, and this is the right place to be. I have found my call, my vocational, right? My vocational place. This went on, and the Lord, I suppose, was bringing me around, giving me that exposure. But finally, I received another awakening. I call this the ecclesiastical awakening. I know it's a very big word. Ecclesiastical just means the church and the clergy and what you understand of what the church is all about. And that was actually in the year 2013, right at that point in time. Somehow I had been serving and doing as much as I can, and if you you want to talk church, I mean, this is it. I've given up everything. I want to be a pastor. I want to be. I just do everything that I can do for the sake of the body of Jesus Christ. And suddenly, there was this. Somehow, there was still this discontent. It was within myself. Is this what it is all about? Every Sunday, I'm preparing one Sunday service. You know, we visit cell groups. We have to do this, we have to do that. You know, I found myself going through, after a while, a little bit of emotion. I'm talking about myself. Okay? And when it came to 2013, when I look back, I realized it was actually two years of praying and saying, Lord, is this what it is? Now, if I didn't mess up, by the time I was a deputy senior pastor, I would have become a senior pastor of a church. I was a dean of a school of ministry, and I was teaching, you know, different people from different walks of life, and I was happy doing that. But I asked one question. I said, Lord, am I where you want me to be? Remember my vocational awakening? I only want to do what you tell me to do. I only want to be where you want me to be. And so I began to pray that prayer once more. I said, Lord, you tell me. If you say yes, I will stay here, I'll suffer for you down here. But if you say no, then I'm also willing to drop everything for the sake of being obedient, being faithful. The call came in 2013, where the Lord says, now drop everything. Come out. And drop everything means drop your salary, drop your position, drop your everything, you know, and come out. And you and I know today, you know, that the message that the Lord gave me today is now, I call our keepers awake. And he gives me this one message to go out there to tell people the same thing. To say, you need to be awakened, maybe in different ways, in different forms, okay? In a different sort of a sequence, in different aspects. But there's really a lot more to what the Christian life is all about. And if you seek to fulfill this, to live it for the pleasure of God, I'm here to really encourage you that you begin to get into a different dimension of what it means to serve the Lord. And so from 2014, and that's when I got to meet this lovely family here at Glad Tidings Church 2 years ago, which I shared with you. 2 years later, 2016, I'm back here with all of you. And you may see why 2024, it doesn't mean my life will end 2024. Okay, if it has to be, so praise the Lord, you understand, huh? But I'm just giving you in decades. 2024 is interesting because when I was praying in the year 2012, 2013, I said, Lord, next year I'm going to turn 50. And we're just having a nice chat just now with Pastor Lawrence. I realized that when I went to ministry in the year 40, I can still chill. And as I came towards my 50th year, I realized you can chomp, but cannot recover as fast. Are you hearing me, friends? Yeah? And when I hit 50, I know physically it will be another phase. Yeah? And in the 50s to the 60s, listen up those who are in your 50s, I can tell you we will be, our energy level, this is one decade that we will, this is the best time we're going to have. We're going to move on this one. Amen? And from 60 onwards, if the Lord graces me with that, your season changes again. Your assignment will move differently. And that's why I said in my prayer, I said, Lord, today is 2040. It's going to be 2040. I'm going to turn 50. I'm going to give this entire decade to your service, to your glory. And that's why I put 2024. As I was preparing this, even in my mind, last week I had a very interesting, a small little revelation. Because there's been one verse I've been preaching very hard on. And actually it is Acts chapter 20 verse 24. If you look at 2024, is that interesting? Paul actually says this. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus. If anyone lived a full life, would you agree with me, it's Paul the Apostle? His entire life was sold out for the glory of Jesus, amen? That nothing would hold him back. And this is one verse that he gave to the church in Ephesus. The elders, the Ephesian elders actually told him, said, look, please don't go to Jerusalem. There's great danger down there. If you go there, you might just lose your life. And Paul looks at them and says, look, my life does not matter. The only thing that matters is that I bring pleasure to the Lord. Amen? The only thing that matters is that I live for Jesus to the fullest, that I will fulfill what He has given to me, that I will be obedient until the end. And 1 week ago, I realized that when I made this prayer about 2024, I don't know what's going to happen after that, that this one verse, 2024, has now become also my real focus in this entire decade. And when people ask me, so how's Archippus Awakening now? How are you doing? I say, I don't really know. God will be the judge of that. But I've used up 2 years. I've got seven and eight more years to go by the grace of God. I'm going to do as much as I can to awaken as many Archippus as I can. If I have to slap your face, please forgive me. But I will want to fulfill my assignment. Would you help me? Yeah? All right? And so, really, what happens after that, who knows, right? Our life, our time is in the Lord's hand. The most important thing is that wherever you are at this point in your life, where are you in your own journey tomorrow? This is one question I want you to ponder. This is something I want you to consider as we go through, you know, even tonight. Tomorrow, when you come back for a time of processing and discussion, will you share with one another, right? So that you can give each other perspective. Where are you in your own journey tomorrow? And I pray that this couple of days, this few sessions, the Lord would grace me to at least be a part of that journey. That one day, who knows, as you look back, you might say, you know that guy, huh? I don't know what his name, Aki something. You know, he said something, and there was that awakening. Would you say amen? Yeah, that's my prayer, that's my desire. You know, you can forget my name, it's okay, because it's going to be in God's books. And people look at me again, ask me, say, so how big is Archippus Awakening? How many people do you have? I say, I don't have one. It's so crazy, right? I don't know. How do you know whether you have fulfilled assignment? I say, I don't know. I just shout at them, I make them wake up. And my prayer is that one day when I stand before the Lord and the Lord says, how do you think you've done? I'll say, I don't know. I did my best. I kept shouting and shouting. I can say, wait, please, wake up, wake up. And I pray that the Lord will say, will you look behind you? These are the Archippuses who woke up and knew their assignment and fulfilled it to the glory of God. Up until that day, you keep praying for me. Amen. Huh? And so really, this is as an introduction. I hope this helps you. Just to set some perspective. That we are to be awakened to more. There's a lot more. I have not even tasted that fully, you know. And I know there's just so much more. And I know that's your desire also. But I pray, don't just seek after the experience. Don't just seek after something or some carpet time or a little bit of a new thing that you will learn. Seek after pleasing God, because that is going to fill your life like nothing ever can in this life. You know something? Church things and methodologies don't fill our lives. It is a relationship with Jesus that you encounter that would make all the difference. Amen. Right? Huh? And so I pray that, you know, together we will journey, and that at the end of this, that this will be a milestone for many and for each and every one of us. And so with that, allow me just to pray for each of you once more. As we close this session, this is a miracle. I never finish in 45 minutes. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Shakarabaso, Tukarabaso. Rebete, Mahalabaso. Father, we just want to start by giving you thanks and giving praise. For every person that's seated right here, God. We're not here by chance. We're not here by our own strength, O Lord. We are here by your grace. We can't even be here if you did not first draw us. And Lord, even as I shared my journey, every step of the way, you have awakened me and you have just sown something into my life. And I pray for every heart this afternoon and for the next 2.5 days, that Lord, you will do a mighty work, Lord. A new work, Lord. Awaken them, O Lord, to so much more that they have never encountered before. To an aspect of you that they have never had a revelation of before. And I pray, O Lord, let it change them from this point forth, O Lord.
that, Lord, there will be our keepers awakened, aligned, and assigned for you. And so we commit this thing to you, Lord, and this whole camp to you. And even as we move to our rooms, let it be good rest. Prepare us even for the next session. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.